I got a hoodie. Like I'm.
I have the I am Canada hoodie.
I will twin with you one day.
Yeah, dude, go ahead. I have the hoodie. And so.
Hey, welcome to ARC Youth Conversations, also known as KYC, where we talk to students about God, life, and everything in between. Now, let's get started. You know, I'm not a serial killer. All righty. Okay. All right. Hey, AY. Good to see you, or hear you, should I say. My name is Michael. And across from me is
Nate.
Or say Jason, too. And then across from Nate is
Cammy.
Hi, Cammy. All right. So Cammy was going to be with another student today, but apparently there's a tornado or something.
It is January 8th. So
yeah.
We'll see.
Whenever
this comes out, we'll see.
Conroe is absolutely just a mess.
Did it survive the storm?
Oh, man, that's one of those things that might not age well. But all right, so Cammy, it's just Nate and I and Mac in the back corner on her phone.
Hey, Mac.
So you're all alone. typically, we ask questions. I thought of this question with you. I was like, let's just get straight to it.
Oh, we jumping in.
Nervous.
Could we get her sweating immediately?
Probably.
No, I promised someone else, one of your friends, that I would not. Okay. When you think of the voice of God, what do you think of?
Like figuratively or literally?
Both.
Figuratively, I think it's more like kind of, what is it called? Kind of like that. It's such a weird thing. Like Jiminy Cricket. You know what I'm talking about? Like
okay.
The small voice inside your head.
Yeah. Conscience.
Yeah, like a conscience.
Yes.
So I feel like that's kind of how I've always seen it. Like, the tells you the right from wrong, kind of steers you in the right direction. You're allowed to make your own decisions, but there's always that voice that's like, hey, that's stupid. Let's not do that.
Right.
But literally, I feel like there is really no voice. I think it's more of like signs. Now it could be like literally like a billboard, or it could be a simple thing like a tornado. Like, okay, let's not go there. It's not a smart idea. There's a tornado coming. Not saying that she like shouldn't have been here, but that was the first thing that came to mind.
Okay.
But I think it's just like simple things like that. Like whether it just be like something inside you saying don't do that, or hey, like let's do this instead, or just like a simple storm that's like, okay, let's stay home instead. Like that's not smart.
Some scriptures call it a witness, and also perception.
Yeah,
of like it's not. Well, you hear it a lot in church world. I didn't hear the audible voice, but I heard something inside of like that's not what I should do.
That's how it's always been for me. Yeah. Like I've always had like that. Okay, like, do you really want to do that? Like, do you want to risk doing that, or do you want to stay home?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not have to put yourself through that.
Yeah, I think, the scripture kind of refers to this, the inward witness of the Holy Spirit, and that's always so important, but everyone's interpretation sometimes is
Well, and Paul actually talks about keeping a clear conscience and keeping your conscience clear, and I think it's that internal, you know, moral compass. And obviously the Holy Spirit is always going to be on the right side of the moral compass. You know?
Right.
So if morally you're having a, should I do this? Should I not do this? The Holy Spirit's always going to be speaking to you. Don't do that.
Right.
If it's something you shouldn't do.
Yeah. There will be checks until you override.
Oh, yeah.
And then you override and you end up on the other side and you're like, yeah, garbage. This was not a good idea.
Yeah.
Which, okay, on that thought process, let's go, you're in track and we don't know where you've committed to yet at this point in time in the game because you have kept that quiet. But
do you have like offers and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice. How many?
I have two like official solid ones that like I could be like, hey, I want to run for you, and I can sign the papers.
Wow.
And then I have like offers as in like they've shown interest in me and it's you need to like run your season, show me the times, and then we'll like give you a check just like
right. Do any of them like excite you?
A few of them do.
Okay.
The one in South Carolina really excited me, but then I mean, it was an amazing school, amazing program, but they didn't have a track. And I was like, okay, that's a deal breaker when you run track and field.
Yeah. Gotta have that.
Yeah, my school did not have an actual, like, official track. They had
really?
An indoor track. My roommate went to nationals. They have a track now.
Yeah.
That's nice. But my roommate went to NCAA nationals in the 800 meter.
Dang, that's the worst race in the whole time. He did it because he loves the movie Jason Bourne, and there is a line. Not kidding.
No way.
He knows Bourne Identity line for line. He knows every mistake and move.
Of all the franchises.
I mean, I'm going to be honest. I rewatched it with them, and I was like, dang, this is a good one. It was the closest America got to James Bond.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, and that's so he there's a line in there where he's like, I can run 800 meters flat, and I don't know, like, flat out for this amount of time. What's a fast time? I know this.
I don't know for guys, but for girls, we have a girl on our team who got third at state. She ran like a 2:11, okay, 2 minutes,
yeah,
11 seconds.
Yeah, that sounds right.
I mean, if you run so fast. Let's say you run a 60 and a 60, I mean, like, two 400s, run a 60, and you turn around and run another 60, I mean, you're pretty set. Might want to sign D1 right then and there.
Right, yeah.
Like, she's a junior and has offers from Princeton. I'm like, oh, it was you.
Wow. Yeah, that's insane. He was one of the vet. I mean, he decided to crank it one time.
Yeah.
On us, because he didn't know how to play soccer, but he was so fast. So fast.
Yeah. Sub two.
That like he might. I mean, guy. He's competing nationals. He might have been. Like,
he, I probably was. He probably was around like 240.
And he was a walk on when he did it.
He was a.
So he was a walk on and went to nationals at my college, and like he cranked it on us during soccer, and I had never felt so burned since like I was in elementary school. Because I'm like, I've never been super slow, but like I never felt that slow until I ran behind John Bradford. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is a monster among men. What I'm getting to at this track point is, in the midst of track and kind of the culture around it, where have you felt, and you might feel like, man, I don't know, which is fine. That's an honest answer. Where have you felt like, man, this has been a challenge when it comes to like you as a person and you and your own faith?
I'm actually there right now. It's kind of like a rocky point. Like I'm at the point where I don't know if I want to run in college, like, kind of that spark, a little dying out, you do it for so long, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm ironically at that point right now, but this is so weird, like, I've never admitted this to anyone. The reason I've gotten through that my first indoor meet is I literally listened to, like, worship podcasts. Like, I listened to y'all the whole way there. I actually binged the podcast.
Nice.
From the Why Jesus one?
From y'all's conversation, I binged them from when I left my house, and then I binged a bunch of other podcasts.
That's me figuring out people think I'm a serial killer.
Oh my gosh, I literally texted one of my friends. I was like, do people actually think this of Michael? He's like, yeah, we're actually terrified of him.
It's sadly consistent. But yes, that's wild. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so I've learned, like, over the few years, what does get me through meets is I do, like, there's pictures of us, we always pray before meets, like before a race. It's a huge thing that we do. It's like a ritual.
Yeah.
And then I always, like, oddly enough, this is so weird, I've never admitted this, I listen to worship music before every race.
Yeah,
it's great.
Yeah,
that's
and great. I think this last race, since I have kind of been in that slump, I actually have like a 7-hour long playlist of it, and I just press shuffled the whole meet, had my AirPods in, didn't talk to anybody, was warming up, and I just, it's kind of one of those things where, like, when you're in that headspace, you have to remember, like, okay, you're not running for yourself at this point. You're running for Jesus. You're just, like, you're running just because you had the opportunity to run.
Yeah.
When I was born, they were like, she's never going to walk. She's never going to talk, stuff like that.
Oh, wow.
Because I was born 3 months early, something like that. And so what does get me through that is, like, I was told I'd never do those things, and then I did end up being able to do it.
Yeah.
So just the fact I have the opportunity and, like, my faith is what pushes me to, like, kind of run and finish out my season when I'm in those slumps.
Mm. Mm.
It's important to find, I've heard it before, but it's like, find your anchors, and it's like, find the things in your life that sort of, like, anchor you to the Lord. So whenever something doesn't go the way I want it to, or something, or I just feel off or whatever, what are those anchors that you have in God? And so it's important to have, and even just listening to worship music is such a simple, right? Like, make playlist, find a playlist, whatever, hit play. Mm-hmm. But, like, that's such a simple, just sometimes I just need to just anchor myself to something. And so it's good on you for finding something that you can just kind of, like, use as a reminder, use as a, whenever things are weird, like, this thing makes sense, you know? Like, worship makes sense, whatever it is with you and the Lord.
And it definitely helps. I don't have, like, a good mentality usually going into meets.
Do you get super nervous?
I get the jitters where, like, I want to cry. Like, I shut down before races. It's bad.
I ran track in high school, and I something about like the 3 or 4 hours before you run. Oh, yeah. I would almost throw up every single meet.
There is a interesting build up.
Yeah. I think it's because it's so fast.
It's the shot.
It's,
yeah.
It's like a basketball game. Like you've got what, 2 hours to like not yeah. screw it up.
Yeah. I you got 60 seconds. Yeah, on, exactly. One lap on a track yeah. to make sure I don't mess up.
You're on the quarter. You're on the quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. That's what I ran to.
Yeah. It's really scary. Like I sat an hour and a half before I ran the 400 in the lineup for my heat. And yeah. The whole time I was like praying and trying not to cry. I was like, yeah. I'm so scared. I get terrible, terrible performance anxiety. Like,
yeah.
My dad ran track.
Yeah.
And he did swimming and he did basketball.
He ran a little longer though, right? Did he run like...
Yeah, I think he did 800 actually.
Yeah, I was going to say the 800.
800,
yeah.
400.
If someone told me to run the 800, I'd walk off and just like be like, no.
I think I would just be like, I want you to know that if I collapse, because my heart exploded.
Yeah.
One time, Mac knows, who's in the back right now. Mac knows, at ORU, there's this 2 mile...
She's giving us a thumbs up,
right? There's this 2 mile run you got to do because you have to pass a fitness... Mm-hmm. course, and like people really? Think it's a joke, but you hey, actually you cannot graduate with a degree in your hand unless you pass swimming proficiency that proves that you can swim.
Really?
And that you have health classes. Actually, I agree with swimming class, because how many adults that don't know how to swim and are on the track team is astounding.
Especially
sprinters.
I can swim, but like I have this thing where like I get scared to start doggy paddling.
They struggle because of like you're working very different in your muscles.
That's what it yeah. is.
And so also some of them just culturally did not grow up being taught how to swim. And yeah. it is very, very difficult to watch someone
so they're,
near drowning.
So what you're saying, kids who grew up in church and kids who grew up not knowing how to swim, there's a correlation?
No, because the ones who didn't know how to swim were barely ever in church and just recruited in athletics at the school.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
But what I'm saying is like you had this 2 mile run, and one time I was like, I'm just going to crank it. But I did something so stupid because it's like 7 in the morning, and I was like, I'm going to just throw back with an empty stomach. I'll throw back this Red Bull real quick.
Oof.
And so I already have my heartbeat just...
Pounding.
Yeah. Is pounding before
yeah.
I start.
Yeah.
And I felt like my heart was going to explode in my yeah. chest. I yeah. was just like, I'm dying. And people are like, are you okay? I'm like, because I'm flat-footed too. Like, long distances is just, it's been rough. Very hard. yeah, I got some duck feet, and unfortunately, so do my children. But I just flap. So I'm just like, my ankles hurt by the end. I'm like, ah! And I'll never forget that, like just the long distance thing of like just my heartbeat on my chest and like 2 miles. I was like, this should be easier, but whatever. Track though, it is that like you have one shot, that's it.
Oh yeah, 100%.
You miss a baton pass, it's over.
Yeah. And I think it's worse when you run because I run relays. It's like I mess up, everybody's
yeah.
done.
Yeah, right. For sure. Yeah.
Have you seen Chariots of Fire?
I have not.
You. Have to watch the movie Chariots of Fire.
Okay, I'll put it on my
it's
list.
A beautiful true story. The guy who loved the Lord and wouldn't run on Sundays I'm not gonna spoil it for you. It is a stinking great, great movie.
It's
an all-time classic. Yeah. My mom used to play it for my brother before he ran track, when he was little. She used to and to get him like in the zone, but
little?
he wasn't competitive. He was really good at track when he was like.
But like you said, little 12, like how little?
Like 10.
Because, like, from AAU, there's, like, 5-year-old running out there. I'm like, why is your 5-year-old running
what?
400?
Just perfect form.
Just 55 times.
Ear to pocket.
Like,
just...
It's literally so – it's so funny because, like, they, like, run into each other on the track. It's like wee bowling. Like, they just fall over.
Yeah. That's a great –
there's the title of the episode.
Wee bowling. Yeah. Okay. So, it – riddle me this.
Batman.
Yeah, riddle me this, Batman. Okay. You came from one high school to a very different part of Houston. And I know you've mentioned it a lot because now you're at Lake Creek. What has that experience been like for you?
Culturally?
Yeah.
Oh. I'm trying to think. Like, this sounded really bad. I came where it was super, super diverse, where I'm a minority and, like, right now at a school just for having dark hair and, like, darker skin as a white person, if that makes sense. Like, I think in my second period... We have 30 kids and 4 of us have brunette and the rest are blonde hair, blue eyed. Like it's very like deep rooted. Everybody knows each other. And it's one of those things like when you come in, you're not going to fit in because all those people have like grown up together. They're best friends since day one. And so it's kind of like the new kids are all friends because you're new and you don't really have anywhere else to fit in. opposed to where you come from a bigger high school, you have more opportunities, more groups to kind of fit in and find your groove. Culturally, it's, of course, always going to be different when you come from a more diverse high school. But I think overall, they're a lot more similar than they are different. Because I feel at the end of the day, both of those schools are very, very deep-rooted. And like when you grow up there, it's different. You see them differently. So I think as an outsider seeing Lake Creek, it's always going to be different to me. It's going to look different. The same way that someone's going to look at the schools that I came from. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So, like, if someone, say, looks at Tomball, they're going to be like, what is this place? Like, this place looks so ghetto. This place looks so weird. But at the end of the day, like, that's where I went. Like, it's not, that doesn't seem bad to me. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Well, then, like, outsiders look at Lake Creek and they're like, what are all these rich white kids like with their Louboutins and Mercedes? Like, you're like, well, that's just like.
You're used
like,
to it.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of the norm. Like, I park by a G-Wagon. Like, you're a 16-year-old driving a G-Wagon. Like, just.
right.
That's most people's life goal zone.
Right.
So, I mean, it just kind of depends on the perspective you're looking at. Culturally, of course, it's always going to be different. But I think it, again, it just, like, depends on the perspective.
Yeah.
I try to keep, like, an open perspective for both.
Right. Don't come in too hard on one end.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going somewhere with this. Just
okay.
Okay, so then you came here. And what was that shift for you?
Like the arc?
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely different. I came from a Lutheran church, and so it was a little bit more. I remember growing up, it was very, very like strict. You had to do this. You had to listen to this. Actually, we were talking about this ironically as we walked up here. Growing up Lutheran, it was kind of like at a young age. Of course, you always want to read your Bible. You want to understand the Bible, but it was like at let's say 6 years old, I had to know the Bible like the back of my hand. I'm like, okay. My parents never expected me of that, but like I had a lot of friends who were at 6 years old knew that, and I was like, that's a lot to ask for a six-year-old who's just learning how to read, you know what I mean?
Right.
It was the same. Like, services were very, very similar. It was always fun. It was different from the standpoint that they weren't as lenient. Y'all are more like very, very loving, very like open, very accepting, whereas opposed like I feel like if you're in a specific denomination church, like a Lutheran church, it's kind of more like, if you're not Lutheran, you're not going to feel like you're not going to fit in. Not just because of your beliefs, that's just what they're expecting you to be, and you have to kind of, like, fit that mold, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But, like, here I love it. I honestly enjoy it so much more. Like, I've made more friends than I've made at school here. Y'all are amazing. Y'all's staff is amazing. I love all of y'all so much. Like, I've felt welcomed in church, but I've never felt more welcomed until, like, I came here. Because I also went to the Cowboy Church, and that's an amazing church. I loved it there.
That's a great church.
But, like, when I came here, I was like, these people are literally so nice. Like, when I brought my friend Meredith, she was so, like, she was terrified. And then her first day, she was like, I want to go back. She was like, loved it. She was like, she was talking about you. She was like, Phil's pastor is great. Like, he just makes it all, like, everything's so easy to understand. And I was like, yeah, he does.
Yeah. So this is where I'm leading with both these questions. You've had to adapt to a lot of new, especially coming to the end of a season of your life. Like, so you're where you grew up, then high school is different. And then now senior year, you're at a different church. What have you found to be the most comforting part of all the changes you've had to go through in your life?
Honestly, I think the most comforting thing is finding like my faith again, because when I moved, my freshman and sophomore year were probably like the hardest years of my life.
No, same for me.
I didn't go to church. I mean, I was bullied really bad. Like, I didn't want to go to the churches that the people who bullied me went to. Like, I just was like,
yeah, it makes sense.
Why would I want to learn about Christ in the same place that those girls who were making my life miserable go to?
Right.
And I was like, that doesn't make sense. And I think probably last year and this year is like when I first started getting into it. Like, one of my teammates started hosting Bible studies and I kind of got involved. And then when I first joined here, I mean, that was probably the most comforting thing that had like happened the last 4 years. Like, that was one of those things I was like, okay, nothing's changing. Like, it's like you're settled. Like, it's time to take a deep breath. Like, everything's going to be okay. And it was kind of like eye-opening in a way, like, in the standpoint that I like felt like I found my place. Like, it was like, okay, this is a good neutral place that you can like be yourself and not have to worry about what others are thinking.
Right. feel like you could stretch your legs.
Yeah, because I mean, like at school, like we have FCA and all these amazing like clubs for like Christians and people to share their faiths, but it was always that sense of like, yes, you're sharing your faith, but it's there are 5 different faiths that 10 different people believe, if that makes sense. Like, it's never like a welcoming, like, we want you to believe what you want to believe, just hear the basics of it. Until like when I came here, y'all like explained it in an amazing way. You're like, this is how the Bible works, this is how Christianity works, this is how we want you to like believe in your faith. And then it kind of just like grows from there, opposed to like being confined into like a singular club, right, or like a singular school, really.
Right. So if I'm hearing correctly, it's been, you felt like the structures you've been put in have sometimes been hard to grasp, mm-hmm, because you've always felt like an outsider of structure, mm-hmm, pretty much from the start of your life to now of like, I don't know if I, because I understand in this aspect, because I know this has been the fight of my life, and I had talked to my dad about it a lot, where I'm like, I've never been the guy that's been a full buyer, mm-hmm, where I'm like, oh, I'm all in on this brand.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Very few times in my life have I ever been like, I love this, so that means I'm going all in, mm-hmm, on this form of political view or this form of this. Outside of Jesus and my wife, I have just not been a full believer of different systems and different methods. So, mm-hmm, it's like, you're like, I kind of want to be in it, but I don't want to, mm-hmm, go as hard as you in this area, because, mm-hmm, I don't know if I'm supposed to. I don't know if, mm-hmm, I had those convictions. So when you feel like you're in the in-between, it can feel very, like, you're very excluded.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Because there's a lot of things in life, as much as we try to say it's open, they're not sometimes.
Yeah. And, like, high school sucks. Like, it just literally is the worst
thing. It's very tough. It's tough.
It's terrible. Yeah. Like, I can't wait to graduate, but there's always, like, those friend groups that are like, we're open, like, feel free to hang out with us. You can stay with us at lunch. And I'm going to be in a new lunch this semester, and I don't have anywhere to sit. Like, it's one of those things, like, y'all claim all these amazing, great things, but at the end of the day, like, what am I supposed to do about that? Because you really don't mean it, if that, like, kind of makes sense.
Mm.
There's, like,
aspiring, like, to do good things,
it's like,
but actually doing them is, that's
all these people want to be great and welcoming, but it's like there is no actual great welcoming people that I've found until I came here.
It's
like, I genuinely mean that.
It's tough. It's a hurting world that surprisingly a lot of people know what to do more than you would think, but the action will cost you. Like, action will cost you. And here's where I think the rubber meets the road. Loving people, sometimes you do not receive it in return. I would argue a lot of times you don't receive it in return, particularly in high school. And I think people already have enough insecurities, and they're already so afraid of being rejected, that if I'm not getting anything in return, then I am not going to risk it. I'm going to wait for someone else to do it. And unfortunately, and you can testify, and I testify in high school, and you can testify in high school, when you have the mentality of someone else will do it, few rarely do. And people hurt because of it. So it's not easy to grasp, but it's aware to know of, like, well, how do I walk in love and not in anger? Because it's easy to leave high school bitter and angry. Because you're like, dude, what was that? Or I have known one adult in my life who was like, high school was amazing.
They definitely peaked.
One person. Mind you, you would think, but they were also the most well-loved person in my college.
Okay.
As in, like, she was highly favored.
Was she pretty?
Yeah, but here's the thing. She wasn't the prettiest, like, this is going to sound rude. I'm not being rude. This was not the prettiest girl on my campus. I'm not trying to be mean at all. Yeah. This is not prettiest girl on the campus. She was arguably the bubbliest and nicest person, one of the nicest people I had ever met in my life. And she was so like, oh my gosh, guys, you go to a table. Oh my gosh. There's her and another guy. It would almost be like a competition. They'd be like, guys, oh my gosh, isn't this just like the best group of people I've ever seen in my entire life? And like, that's the energy she's taking to everything in life. Only person I've known, like, this was awesome. And I'm like, yeah, of course high school's awesome, because everyone thought you were awesome. Meanwhile, I was in Struggle Tonya over here. Where half of high school, I was completely seen as undateable and unliked. And then by the end, when I felt like I flipped the script of my life, I felt empty.
Literally.
And she's like, high school is the best.
I have friends that are like, I love high school. I'm like, yeah, well, I was emo for like first 3 years of high school, so I don't want your
hate. Right. And so everyone has a journey. And here's the thing, and I pray this encourages you too. If the best thing to come out of your high school experience is the time you have with the Lord, it was not wasted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
None of it. Even if you don't pursue track, even if you don't pursue the dreams that maybe you had in your life when you're younger, and God takes you on a different path. I believe not everything is instituted by the Lord, but I do believe he can use everything for his good.
For sure.
So there are things that we make mistakes, the enemy attacks, but God can use those things. And if you can walk away from high school and be like, you know what, though? I feel like I got closer to the Lord, and every time I did, life was better because of it. That's a win. Mm-hmm.
And that's what's going to stick.
Yes.
Like, that's what's going to stick. I mean, you're like, you'll be in your 40s, 50s, 60s, and all the cool stuff you did is like, they're stories. But having a relationship with the Lord that grows, nothing sticks like that.
Yeah.
You know, and like, nothing makes a difference in your life long term like that does, you know? Yeah. And so, what you're doing and talking about pouring into that now is one of the best things you can do because it's going to last.
Right. And your track warm-up is a lot like what I do sometimes for messages. Mm. There have been times where I've had times where, like, life has just been tough.
Yeah.
And I've never struggled with nervousness on stage things, but focus, I a lot of times I can have a very hard time at focusing. And life can just have things and things going on and ministry and students and someone just did something weird, like flexing in the mirror in the bathroom. I'm like, what? I'm like literally about to preach about the love of God, and I just had to tell someone to go home. Like, so there's that focus of like sometimes like worship music or just praying out loud. I'm a real big believer in praying out loud has been like how I lock in.
Yeah.
And so you kind of tapping into prep is huge.
Yeah.
Is miles, miles ahead.
Oh yeah, I went down like a TikTok rabbit hole the day of like worship songs and like discovered like a million new artists.
That's social media in the good end.
Yeah, like, I loved it. For sure. I literally was laying in bed. It was like 11, and then I looked up and it was like 5 in the morning. I was like, you know what?
Dang.
I spent some time with Jesus.
That's not good. Kidding.
All right, we're gonna end on a lighter note. Great questions and answers. Yeah. Honestly, good. Those are good stuff. Thank you for your transparency for that. All right, we're gonna end on a lighter note.
Okay.
We didn't get to it with the guys. Mm-hmm. We're gonna get to it with you. Two questions. The job you want to do right now. Education, money doesn't matter. So snap a finger, you can do it. All the authority and the power in the world, and you feel like you could do it. What would it be?
I don't know. I just know that like I'd want to help people. Like whether it just be like a doctor or like psychology or something, like a counselor, like just like that's my goal in life is just like do something that helps people.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I like that. All right. Fictional, like the fictional job, like I would, you know, as I told everybody, James Bond or Indiana Jones. What was
I said? Astronaut.
Yeah,
I was astronauts. Like a big, like as a kid.
You're just
I was
so much more innocent and pure than mine. All of mine are like roughed up characters, with, like dramatic.
I mean,
backstories.
I can't say Pokemon trainers.
So. Yes, you can.
I guess
yes, you can.
It's fictional.
Of course, it's as realistic as James Bond.
Were you a big Pokemon Go person?
Yes, and then
it's a complicated answer.
Yes, and then I had to stop because I got very obsessive and absorbed with it.
If it makes you feel better, one time we ran on 45 and I like banged on my mom. I was like, pull over, and like ran off.
There's a jam.
Legendary.
I was like, I gotta go catch it.
There's a shiny, it was shiny Charizard. It was genius. I thought it was one of the most genius things I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
It was genius. I saw 300 people in the parking lot one time roaming
Market
around.
Market Street used to be crazy.
Roaming around, fighting in gyms with like families, whole families.
Oh, wow.
Which I actually thought was kind of sweet. I'm like, whole families.
I did it with my kids a couple
at 8
times.
O'clock at night. Whole families are out
They're
there.
They're bonding.
Yeah, okay. So, imaginary job.
This is weird. My first thought was like, when you said astronaut, I was like, Barbie astronaut. Like, if Barbie was
Yes, that counts.
Yeah, that counts.
She's like so awesome. It's Barbie. Why did you not want to be Barbie?
Right. Yeah. Did you see the Barbie movie?
I actually didn't like it.
Really?
No.
I was very pro Ken.
It probably wasn't what you were expecting.
It wasn't. Yeah. I love Margot Robbie, but I only like Margot Robbie like in her like Harley Quinn kind of like action movies. But watching her as Barbie, I was like, okay, like you kind of ate, but don't do that again.
Dude, what you? Okay, I just wanted like 1 minute on this. What goods, bads? Give us like the quick diagnosis on of Barbie. Yeah.
I feel like it was too political. It was definitely very like feminist, like all of that. There was a lot of very liberal views and stuff like that. And then it kind of like was weird. I feel like it gave Barbie like a bad image, if that makes sense. It was also not like they did not market it right. They were like, it's going to be this great, like, story about Barbie and, like, all this stuff.
And it takes a really dark turn.
I actually do agree with that.
And then it takes, like, a weird turn.
It takes a hard turn.
And then, like, half-naked Kens are dancing on the beach. I'm like, I'm uncomfortable.
I'm going to be honest, y'all. I know it was not the aim of the movie, but I kind of was down with the Mojo Dojo concept.
I was like,
I know we're supposed to hate Ken. I know, okay, like, narratively, he's supposed to be dumb.
He's kind of supposed to be an idiot. Not the bad guy, but I mean,
but
he's
Ryan Gosling commits so hard.
Have you seen
his he was like, sublime! Like, he commits so hard to it. I was like,
he, like, tweeted something up today. He was like, I just can't break Ken. And, like, how he can't get out of character because he's, like, obsessed with it.
He did, like, an acoustic rendition of the I Am Ken for Christmas.
I got a hoodie. Like,
I have the I Am Ken hoodie.
I will twin with you one day.
Yeah, dude, go ahead. I have the hoodie.
I'll wear it on Wednesday.
I knew what they were trying to go for, and it's funny that I just went the absolute off direction that they didn't want me to, because they're trying to speak to two different audiences.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they're like, there's men in the audience. Here's the message for you, and I'm like, but what if I sided with Ken instead?
But what if I like him?
What if the patriarchy is about horses, though?
I didn't like it simply because I was confused 99% of the time. I was like, what is going on?
It was at its core, strip Barbie away from it, and it is a
women in the modern
psychological era movie. Like, it is a very like, let's study human psychology and how humans and
the Barbie threw me off.
Women, yeah. Yeah, that's like, well, that's fair.
I was like, I don't understand why Barbie's correlating to this. I was like,
yeah.
Mm. Although Midge was funny, the one pregnant Barbie that they're like, oh god.
The pregnant Barbie. Yeah.
All right. Well, on that note, I'm pregnant Barbie. We're so glad you guys listened. Cammy, thank you so much for being transparent and honest. It was great, and we'll sign off.
Later.
Bye.
I'm Knuffy.